Where are these notes printed? Can it be printed anywhere? No. For printing of notes, the Security Printing and Minting Corporation of India Limited, which is popularly known as SPMCIL, this is a wholly owned subsidiary of central bank, of the central government, sorry. This is a wholly owned company of the government of India, and it has set up printing presses at Nasik, Maharashtra, Dewas, which is in Madhya Pradesh. Please note, these are a wholly owned company of government of India. Similarly, there are some wholly owned subsidiaries of Reserve Bank of India. So, wholly owned company of central government is SPMCIL, and the wholly owned subsidiary of Reserve Bank of India is the Bharatiya Reserve Bank Note Mudran Private Limited, which is called BRBNMPL, which is also set up at different places. One of them is Mysore in Karnataka and Salboni in West Bengal. So based on the requirements, based on how much to print, based on the capacity of the printing press across the country, RBI selects whether to use SPMCIL or the BRBNMPL for printing your notes. What about the coins? We have seen the printing of notes happening because of the Paper Currency Act of 1881. Similarly, the coins minting, we say printing of paper currency or paper notes, we say minting of coins. The coins are minted on the basis of provisions made in the Coinage Act of 1906. How much coins can be issued? Up to what denominations can be issued? Coins can be issued up to the denomination of rupees 1000. We have seen the rupee notes can be issued up to a denomination of rupees 10,000. Coins can be issued up to a denomination of rupees 1000. Reserve Bank has also places in circulation coins in denomination of 50 paise. Initially, we had also seen 1 paise, 5 paise, 2 paise, 10 paise, but those are all out of circulation now. Now, the coins under circulation starts with 50 paise, 1 rupee, 2 rupee, 5 rupee, and we have seen also 10 rupee coins available in our current market. Coins up to 50 paise are called small coins, and coins of rupee 1 and above are called rupee coins. So which are small coins? Small coins are 50 paise coins, and rupee coins are 1 rupee and above. We have seen the notes printing happening as per the central government subsidiary, as per the Reserve Bank of India subsidiary. Same way, we see the minting of coins is done by Reserve Bank of India. Reserve Bank of India acts as the agent of central government for distribution, issue and handling. For distribution, issue and handling of coins, Reserve Bank of India does this on behalf of the central government, including your 1 rupee note. And it's not just for distribution, issue and handling, it is also for the purpose of withdrawing and remitting them back to the government as may be necessary. So it not only prints, but it can also give back to the government as may be necessary. Please note, SPMCIL, which is a central government subsidiary, has 4 mints at Mumbai, Noida, Kolkata and Hyderabad for coin production. So accordingly, government have made different arrangements for printing your currency notes as well as your coins all across the country, and this is done in a very high security environment. Now, notes are printed, coins are minted, but how do you manage the currency? Very important aspect of the currency maintenance. So this management of currency is one of the core central banking function. This is what we had seen. It is not only restricted to issue of notes. issue of notes is followed by management of currency, and this is one of the core banking functions of Reserve Bank of India, for which it derives necessary statutory powers from Section 22 of the Reserve Bank of India Act 1934. So Section 22 gives specific powers to the Reserve Bank of India for managing currency, which includes both your rupee notes or your currency notes as well as your coins. Along with the Government of India, the Reserve Bank is responsible. Please note this, very important. How do you see your currency? What features should be there on the currency notes is decided by both Reserve Bank of India as well as the Government of India. Along with the Government of India, the Reserve Bank is responsible for the design, production and overall management of the nation's currency with the goal of ensuring adequate supply of clean and genuine notes. This clean and genuine notes is very important. RBI has made special arrangements for exchanging the soiled and mutilated notes. Soiled notes can be exchanged freely across any branch of any bank of our country. Mutilated notes needs to be presented at certain branches of the bank or at the RBI office if available in that region. Again, mutilated notes may not fetch you the entire value. Soiled notes will fetch you the entire value. It is simply removing a soiled note out of the circulation and replacing it with a clean note. Again, there are specific policies for clean notes. Some of them might have seen the notes being stapled during some period of time. Now, under the clean notes policy, no banker nor a customer or a depositor is allowed to staple any notes, whether it may be used for bundling of notes into 100 or for any other purpose. Stapling of notes is not permitted. Instead of stapling, you can put a paper ring, and that maintains the clean note policy. You cannot write anything on the notes. That again comes from the clean note policy. Who issues the directions? Reserve Bank of India issues directions for not only clean note policy, but for genuine note policy. Genuine note policy specifically talks about the counterfeit notes. The counterfeit notes, if it is traced by a banker follows a specific procedure of impounding. What is impounding? It takes away the note, it gives an acknowledgement to the customer, it lodges an FIR with the police station. Impounded note cannot have any value to whoever it is presenting. Impounded note straight away goes out of the circulation, and further inquiry happens if at all there is some malafide intentions involved in that. So this takes about the genuineness of the note, which means counterfeit notes has to be taken out from the system. And who monitors these policies? Reserve Bank of India. This all comes into the core Reserve Bank function of issue of notes. So issue of note is not only restricted to issue of your paper notes or coins, but it takes care of all this: currency management, circulation of clean notes, extraction or removal of soiled notes, mutilated notes, taking care of counterfeit notes, and ensure that only genuine notes are available in the market. To talk further on the management of currency, the Reserve Bank carries out the currency management. We have seen there are 27 departments of Reserve Bank of India. One of these 27 departments is Department of Currency Management, and this takes care of all these currency management issues, maybe whatever it is, an issue or its circulation or whatever. Bank notes management is undertaken by two separate departments. The first one, the issue department, is responsible for issue of new notes, and the banking department holds a stock of currency. So both of them don't mix up. Issue will take care only of issuing notes, whereas once the note is issued, once the note comes from the printing press, it goes to the banks, and that monitoring happens by the banking department Again, both departments represent Department of Currency Management. Currency chest, what are they? If you want to see the definition or simply look at the definition of currency chest simply means they are the storehouses. Storehouse? For what? Storehouse where banknotes and rupee coins are stocked on behalf of Reserve Bank of India. Whenever these notes are printed from the printing press, whenever these coins are minted from the minting press, you cannot keep it anywhere. It has to be first brought and kept at a storehouse. Such storehouses are called currency chest. This currency chest were maintained initially by Reserve Bank of India. But as the banking business grew, Reserve Bank of India delegated its power of maintaining currency chest to State Bank of India, public sector banks, and now certain authorized banks. We'll see that now. To facilitate the distribution of notes and rupee coins across the country, Reserve Bank of India has authorized selected branches of banks and established currency chest. As of now, the network is as huge as 4,200 currency chest and 4,000 small coins depots. So 4,200 currency chest specifically for notes and over 4,000 small coin depots with other authorized banks. The currency chest has been established with State Bank of India, the principal agent of Reserve Bank of India, as well as its subsidiaries, as well as nationalized banks, as well as private sector banks, foreign banks, state cooperative banks, and even regional rural banks. So now you must be wondering, how are these new notes coming? How that person gets a new note and I don't carry the new note? These notes, since RBI has authorized most of the banks to have currency chest, these respective banks, as and when the new notes, printed notes, come to the currency chest, they distribute across the branches. And that's how, if you request your branch to give new notes, provided their currency chest has sent the new notes to that branch, you can easily get new notes whenever you bring the payments or whenever you withdraw money. So that's how you can always go to your branch, tell them to give new notes, and you can book your new notes based on the availability of new notes as well as the coins with your branch. So next time when you want to take new notes, please go to your branch and request them. They will arrange it for it for any denominations you want. Okay, now let's see what is the minimum currency reserve. By the Reserve Bank Amendment Act 1956, RBI is required to keep a minimum reserve of Rs. 200 crores, of which foreign securities should have a minimum value of Rs. 85 crores and a minimum reserve of gold of value of Rs. 150 crores. Mandatory, RBI has to maintain this minimum reserve of 200 crores in the form of foreign securities or in the form of not or and in the form of gold also. This decides our country's foreign reserve. This is maintained by RBI with foreign banks by taking or purchasing their security or by keeping Indian gold in their banks. And that's how you get an assurance of a particular reserve, but it has to be minimum of 200 crores at any point of time. This minimum reserve is called the minimum currency reserve, which RBI has to keep it mandatorily with other banks or the World Bank or whichever foreign entity it is keeping. Now, what are these currency chests used for? I just now said if you want to get new notes. Besides that, what are the other features of a currency chest? Number one, coins can be exchanged for notes. If you have lots of coins, go to the branch, exchange it with the notes. You will get notes in replacement. Notes can be exchanged for coins, vice versa. If you have lots of notes, want some change, you can exchange it for coins. Higher denomination notes, you have lots of 1,000 rupees notes. Exchange it and get it lower denomination notes. excess cash can be paid in the currency chest. Now, this is specifically done by the branches. If you carefully note or if you ask any banker, they are not allowed to keep cash idle in their branch. If at all they get huge collection of cash, they cannot have cash balance in their branch over and above a certain limit which is authorized for the branch. What they have to do? They have to transfer that cash from the branch over and above the allowed limit for that branch to their head office. What will the head office do? Head office won't keep it idle. They will transfer that cash to their currency chest. Or they will invest in profitable securities which comprises of CRR, SLR or whatever. So the basic idea over here is you cannot keep idle cash in the branch. The best way is to transfer it to the currency chest. Same way, if there is a heavy demand of cash, from where can you get it? Again, go to the currency chest. You have deposits, take it out through some accounting procedure, bring it back to the branch and make the payments. So currency chest makes use of payment as well as receipt of cash. New notes can be issued. That's what I said, new notes can be issued. But you cannot go to a currency chest and tell, okay, give me a fresh note. The demand can be made on the branch. Branch will arrange it from the currency chest and in turn you will be benefited. So that is the basic use of currency chest for the banking customers and depositors. The second important, very important function of RBI. This is also a central banking function. And for this, RBI governor is seen publicly across the media for issuing monetary policy. In monetary policy, an annual policy is released in the month of April. Besides that annual policy, you have four quarterly policies. Besides these four quarterly policies, in between the quarter, you have midterm quarterly policies. Why are these policies made? These policies are made simply for regulating the economy. The objectives of monetary policy in India have evolved to include, number one, maintaining the price stability. Prices are soaring, soaring, soaring. Inflation is going up, going up, going up. Who looks into it? Reserve Bank of India. The Reserve Bank of India's objective of monetary policy has evolved to include maintaining price stability, ensuring adequate flow of credit. If there is excess money available in the market, RBI will tighten the screws by increasing the lending rates. That is how it tightens the credit flow to the productive sectors of the economy to support. And why is this done? It is done to support the economic growth and maintaining the financial stability of our country. Formulating monetary policy measures include, what does RBI do to formulate a monetary policy? Like whenever RBI governor announces a monetary policy, he will have all this included in his policy. Number one, he will increase or decrease the CRR, SLR. He will increase or decrease the repo and the reverse repo rate. Repo rate is something which RBI use loans. Reverse repo is something which bank use loans to RBI. So the rates are decided by this monetary policy. These rates, again, repo and reverse comes under the liquidity adjustment folio. Export credit finance. Now, since the currency requirement is huge, the dollar requirement is huge, RBI is making special measures to increase the exports so that when the exports proceeds comes, our rupee will get appreciation. So this special provisions for exporters, again, are done by RBI under the export credit refinance, market stabilization schemes, and of course the interest rates. That is the very basis on which the deposits will be accepted by the banks, based on which the lending and investment will happen. We have seen first the issue of notes. Next, we have seen the monetary policy. Now we are going to understand how RBI acts as a banker to the government. The RBI acts as a banker, not only as a banker, but it acts as an advisor also to all the state governments in India, except Jammu and Kashmir. Jammu and Kashmir is an autonomous government. So as per the Reserve Bank of India Act, the RBI acts as a banker and advisor to all the state governments except Jammu and Kashmir. As a banker to the government, RBI keeps the cash balances. Who is going to manage the cash balances which government receives? this major function is done by RBI. RBI, as a banker to the government, keeps cash balances as deposits free of interest and pays money on behalf of it. Not only accepts, but sometimes the government has to make payments also. So this payment on behalf of government is done by Reserve Bank of India, as it has offices in only 27 locations. The RBI also takes helps of the public sector banks. So RBI appoints other banks to act as its agent for undertaking the banking business on behalf of government. So the central government work is primarily done by Reserve Bank of India. And if Reserve Bank of India does not have a footprint or visibility in a particular location, it authorizes the public sector banks to do its work on its behalf because of their presence in that location. The Reserve Bank also undertakes to float loans and manage them on behalf of the government. It's not just receiving deposits or paying. Government also requires loans. So government, the MPs and all won't go to take a loan. This is done by Reserve Bank of India. So Reserve Bank of India also undertakes to float loans and manage them on behalf of government. And this is how Reserve Bank of India acts as a banker to the government. So whatever the individual requirements are there, similarly, government also has its own requirement. We do it for ourselves. RBI does it for government. That's as that simple as that. RBI also acts as a banker to bank. But what are the requirements of a bank? Bank itself does the banking. How can it require a requirement, or how can it require something more than what it has? Yes, friends, there are. Let's see what it is. RBI acts as a banker's bank. This relationship comes as soon as the bank name is included in the second schedule. We are going to see this in the next chapter of commercial banking. What do you mean by listing yourself in the second schedule of RBI Act? The moment a bank is listed in the second schedule of Reserve Bank of India Act 1934, a solid relationship is established between a bank and the Reserve Bank of India. And what does it do? It enables banks to avail of the facilities of accommodation and refinance. The banker has already given a loan in the form of bills finance. The money has already gone to the borrower. But Reserve Bank of India, on the basis of that securities, can refinance on the basis of that security, which creates a sort of additional finance with the bank to use it for productive purpose, to use it for lending. So this powerful function of refinancing is done by Reserve Bank of India to the banks. So banker not only gets money from the depositors, banker can also get money in the form of refinance from Reserve Bank of India. Reserve Bank of India also provides banks with the facility of opening accounts to itself. Now just consider a simple scenario of you purchasing a draft from your bank, which is payable on another bank. How will one bank make a payment to another bank? This happens on the basis of each bank opens a current account with Reserve Bank of India. So finally, when this instrument goes to RBI, either in the clearing house or otherwise, that particular account of that particular bank gets debited or credited based on the receipt or payment of the transaction. So this is where RBI provides banks with the facility of opening accounts with itself, and this is called the banker's to bank function. Just as you can open an account with your bank, any of the bank can open an account with Reserve Bank of India for meeting its banking requirements. Okay, so which is the department which looks after this? Like when you enter a branch, there are different departments: retail banking department, loan department, safe deposit vault, this vault, that vault. Same way, RBI has 27 departments. So this particular function of opening accounts of banks with Reserve Bank of India is done by a special department, which is called the Deposit Accounts Department, which is DAD. And this is available at regional offices. RBI not only does the refinance, RBI not only accommodates banks for opening accounts, RBI also lends to commercial banks, literally gives loans. This is where I said the repo rate comes into the picture under the liquidity adjustment folio. So RBI pre-announces this repo rate on the basis of which RBI lends to commercial banks, and because of which it is also called a lender of last resort. RBI also manages payment systems, foreign exchange matters, and mandatory cash balances of the scheduled banks. Very important aspect, the previous slide showed RBI acts as a banker to the government as well as to a bank. Now let's see how it acts as a controller of credit. RBI has a power of influencing volumes of credit created by banks in India. It can do so by changing the bank rate. Simply, if the bank rate goes high and high, the loans consumption will be less and less. So if you want to entertain loans, the rates has to come down. It's as simple as that. So this basic decision is taken by the Reserve Bank of India, and that's how it changes the bank rate, or it purchases securities in the market to maintain the liquidity in the market through open market operations. RBI can also ask any bank or whole banking system not to lend to a particular group of persons on the basis of certain types of securities. You cannot lend on any type of security. Who decides on which type of security you can lend? RBI. So this is where your control of credit function comes into the picture. RBI can raise or lower the CRR and SLR, cash reserve ratio, statutory liquidity ratio. Cash reserve ratio is in the form of cash balances to be maintained by RBI, to be maintained by the banks with RBI, and the statutory liquidity ratio comes in the form of investments in the government securities. So RBI can raise or lower the CRR or SLR to control the credit growth, and all this comprises the RBI function of controller of credit. Custodian of foreign exchange or custodian of foreign reserves. What does that mean? Reserve Bank of India, as a custodian of the country's foreign exchange reserves, is vested with the responsibility of external stability of Indian rupee. Rupee was soaring high and high. RBI had to intervene. It had to sell off its dollars. Because of selling the dollars, the rupee value could be maintained, and that's how the rupee value, which had rocketed to 70 plus, has come down today to 63. So this is the main job of Reserve Bank of India as a custodian of country's foreign exchange reserve. It is vested with the responsibility of external stability of Indian rupee. It has been given the monopoly of control and regulate of foreign exchange. Currently, RBI has succeeded, that's what I was saying, RBI has succeeded in improving the rupee to rupees 63 as of today against the dollar. After India became a member of the International Monetary Fund in 1946, RBI has the responsibility of maintaining fixed exchange rates. India does foreign transactions with different countries. Each country has a different value of its currency. So this responsibility of maintaining the exchange rate has become mandatory after India signing off the IMF in 1946. So this is one of the additional functions when Reserve Bank of India acts as a custodian of foreign reserves. Another very important function of the central bank comes from the Payment and Settlement Systems Act 2007. What does it do? The Payment and Settlement Systems Act 2007 empowers the Reserve Bank to regulate and supervise the payment and settlement systems in the country. We see a lot of electronic instruments actually taking part in the form of payment or receiving money from individuals as well as corporates. The best example is a remittance facility in the form of RTGS, in the form of NEFT. You can use your internet banking, your mobile banking, your credit cards, your ATM cards for receiving cash or depositing cash and doing whatever sort of electronic transactions. Can any bank implement it without any regulations? We have seen a lots of regulations affecting the functional part, the operational aspects, and this is where, more specifically on the electronic payments, RBI takes help of the Payment and Settlement Systems Act 2007 to issue directions and regulations as far as the payment and systems control is concerned in the banking sector. The Reserve Bank has played an active development role both in setting up of the new payment system. When we are talking of the new payment system, we are talking largely on the electronic payments like the NEFT, the RTGS, and the most latest, the check truncation. Check truncation has already started a parallel run. It has already been implemented in Delhi and Chennai, and now it is going to go all across the country. Delhi and Chennai is giving a great model for the entire country, and that's how we are already into the parallel run. Because of check truncation, your check won't travel from your branch to the clearinghouse, but it will go in the form of a scanned image from your branch to the clearinghouse. And since no physical movement of the check happens, the electronic transfer of the scanned image will bring back the money by debiting the customer's account to the beneficiary's account. So it's going to be a simple clearing system in just a day's time rather than a 3 days period for the manual clearing system. This is one of an important initiative taken by Reserve Bank of India. Again, it had to amend a lot of laws, more specifically the Negotiable Instruments Act. It has to take a lot of directions from the Payment and Settlements Act 2007, and that's how a new setup in the form of electronic setup has been established by Reserve Bank of India under its primary role of regulation of the payments system in the banking sector. And there is a separate department amongst those 27 departments we have discussed of Reserve Bank of India. That department is Department of Payment and Settlement Systems, which controls all the electronic payment systems of our banking companies. It not only establishes a new system, but it improves the safety and efficiency of the existing ones. If you go to RBI, if you visit RBI site, you will find RBI Vision 2009 to 2012. What does this vision say? RBI Payments Vision 2009 to 2012 said that it wanted to establish all these new electronic systems. Post 2012, RBI has projected another vision, which is 2012 to 2015, and you know what it says. Its basic aim is to improve the safety and efficiency of existing systems. Recently, we have seen a lot of ATM cloning frauds. Somebody cloning the cards, going to Greece and withdrawing illegally. All those will vanish over a period of time. Because of this vision, RBI is taking a special focus. Today only I read in the paper, RBI is thinking of biometrics authentication, even on the ATMs. So when it comes to the level of biometrics, even card cloning will be ineffective. So this is how the Department of Payment and Settlement Systems take care not only in setting up an electronic system, but it also pays special attention to improvising the safety and efficiency of the existing ones.